4.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Sir Walter Raleigh, one of Britain's great sea captains in the days of Queen Elizabeth I, was a fearless adventurer. He was a great favorite of the Queen, but he was disliked by her successor, James I. In the end, the king condemned Sir Walter to death. The executioner, whose sympathy evidently was with the prisoner, had no joy in his task. Hoping to ease the sailor's last moments, the executioner told Sir Walter how to place his head on the block to ensure swift decapitation. The prisoner thanked him. "It matters little, friend," Sir Walter said, "whether or not the head is right, so long as the heart is right." Now, I told you this morning, ingredients. Ingredients to what? The ingredients to a holy life. Ingredients for us to have a holy life. And Solomon gives us 5 in these few verses of these ingredients that we need in our lives. Ingredients are important. Those of you that cook, you know that if you leave out something, it doesn't work. Doesn't seem to have the right flavor. Doesn't seem to have the right texture. You got to have the ingredients, and you need to make sure you put them all in there. The first ingredient we'll look at is a clean heart. Verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It is a must for us to guard our hearts. The heart is the symbol of our inner being, our inner life. The heart is the source of all of our behavior. Matthew 5:18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies." Jeremiah 17:9, he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart must have protection. That's why in Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." It's no wonder that King David wrote in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart." Because we need to do that. We need to have a clean heart. Salvation, by the way, the new covenant is having God's law written in our hearts. Jeremiah 31:33, he said, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Our hearts are very important, that we need to guard them, what we take in, because that is what feeds our hearts, what is most treasured to us, what we deal with on a daily basis, that tends to come out. Now, the second ingredient is having a careful mouth. You know how hard it is to blow your top and to lose control of that little flapper in there, the tongue? He says in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Listen, the mouth can cause all sorts of problems, all sorts of troubles. There was a certain man in the Bible, his name was Shimei. He was one of those people who should have had a careful mouth. He was all for Absalom. Absalom was David's son, and Absalom got this wild idea that he's going to take over the kingdom. And David hadn't quite been put in his spot yet, but the Lord had already anointed him for king, and Absalom decided he was going to be the king. Well, Shimei was backing him. And along comes David, and riding along with his mighty men, and Shimei decides to run his mouth. Well, really, Shimei had no idea that the only reason he lived as long as he did is because of the grace of David. In 2 Samuel 16:6, it says, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king, of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. You see, evil speech is a sure indication of an evil heart. When those things start coming out, we need to think about what we're saying. We need to recall what we're saying, and we need to change our hearts. You see, David's son Solomon became king. He realized that Shimei was for Absalom. When King Solomon took over as kingdom, he had Shimei killed. He had him executed. Shimei should have watched his mouth. If he hadn't said anything to David, if he'd have kept his mouth shut, he might have lived a long life. So that second ingredient, having a careful mouth, we need to be careful with what we say. It's like my wife's always said, it's like words are like toothpaste. Once it comes out, you can't put it back. You ever tried that? I've actually tried it. I squirted some toothpaste out and tried to put it back. It's a mess. Doesn't work real well. And we need to be careful there. The book of James gives us a lot of advice on the mouth. Let's go to the book of James. Hang on to Proverbs, but go over to the book of James chapter 3. That's that book. James chapter 3. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their head, that we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Out of the same mouth that we've dropped down on our knees and we've prayed and we've shed tears and prayed for unsaved people and prayed for problems we've had and prayed for lots of different things, out of that same mouth and that same tongue, we've turned around and cursed people. We've turned around and, oh, that sorry individual, I'd like to, whatever it is you'd like to do. We've all done that. We need to be careful. Now, true. Listen, I've broken, trained many horses. Some of them were stud horses. I've had one time grab my coat on my shoulder and pick me up and throw me down, 250 pounds. And it wasn't no big deal to him. But I've trained them to the point that I could do whatever I wanted to do because I was controlling with their tongue. Man, you put them bits in there and it gets their attention because you're pressing on that tongue and it's working on the roof of their mouth. And you got these wire bits, we call them, snaffle bit. They had snaffle bits and then we had a wire snaffle bit. And man, you lay that dude across their tongue and you can get their attention in a hurry. Sometimes I need that. I need somebody on there going, you know, we all need that. And so what we need to do is ask the Lord to help us control our tongues, to help us just, you know, zip it. Because we're a lot better off if we just zip it. I had somebody ask me just not too long ago, what do you think? I said, you don't even want to know. And I just walked off, got in the truck, and drove off because it was like a couple of more seconds and I'll let them know. And it wouldn't have been good. And it may have caused problems for years and years to come. There's been a few times and I still suffer from it. What do you think, honey? That's what she'd tell me. And I'd say, do you really want to know? And I should have went, And every now and then, it comes back, I think about it. I should have controlled my little member there. It's not that big. It's tongues are small. But nonetheless, listen, we need to be very careful with what we say. We need to make sure we've got that ingredient of having a careful mouth. The third ingredient. This one's a tough one. This one might be even tougher than the tongue. Might be. Controlling these eyes. You see, he says in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Lots of temptations come through the eyes. And to control those eyes takes great discipline and a lot of prayer. That's what it's going to take. Because there's a lot out there to see. One of Satan's greatest tools in the garden was Eve's eyes. Once, in other words, he told her, he said, look at the tree. It's beautiful. Oh man, it's good to look on. And she gazed at it. And the longer she gazed at it, the deeper that desire came to have it. You see, it all started with that long, deep look that she looked at. Genesis 3:6 tells us about that. That desire grows and the stronger it becomes. And it all began with just a look. Our eyes can get us in deep trouble. It can cause lots of problems. The fourth ingredient, it's a careful walk. He said in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. A godly plan each day of your life is a great way to start the day. Get up and start out with a godly plan each and every day. You can't, if you do that, it's a whole lot easier to not go wrong. You need to start it that way. There's some places that a child of God should not go. It's just, we shouldn't be there. There's some places, some doors, I should say, that we should never darken. Here's a great, probably the greatest example I've ever found of what not to do. And there's also the greatest example I've found of what we should do. Genesis 13:12, it said Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's what we should not do. Abraham gave him a choice of what to do. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, and it wasn't long that Lot was in Sodom. Lot's choice put him right into the filth of the world, and there ain't no way possible that he could... There's no way possible that he could have lived there all that time and not realized what a cesspool it was. It was a vile, wicked place. Listen, you can't keep company with wicked people and not be affected. The effects of wickedness will affect you. That's effect, starts with an E, and it'll affect you, starts with an A. See, I'm learning the difference between effect and effect. You can't mix yourself in with the kind of filth that we have and it not affect you. You can't buddy up with people of that type in the world and it not affect you. It's just not good. Genesis 3:18 says, now this is what you should do. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto God. You see, Abraham, his actions took him away from the filth of the world. He let God order his paths. Lot ordered his own paths. Apparently, they could both see it, because he said, Lot, what you gonna do? And Lot cast his eyes on the plains, and he said, oh, I like that. And then it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Abraham picked his tent up and said, I'm out of here. Because he knew what problems there were. You can't mix and mingle with that kind of problem in the world we live in. I've had people tell me, well, this person, homosexuals, lesbians, all of these, they're friends of mine. No, they're not. Not if you're a child of God. They can't be. You can be nice to them, but you can't hang with them. It will affect you. It will cause you great problems. Not to mention, Abraham no doubt knew that eventually a righteous God was going to deal with the problem. We need to remember that in our lives. Eventually, the righteous God, the only God, is going to deal with the problems of this world, with our nation, the wickedness that's going on. He may deal with the person that you're hanging around with. Be careful who you ride to town with. You don't want to be there when they get dealt with. Lot had to leave. But they had to drag him out. You got to be careful what you do. Abraham knew that eventually the Lord was going to deal with that. The fifth ingredient. So what we've got, you've got these ingredients to have a holy life. You've got a clean heart. And then from that point, we've got a careful mouth. We need to control our eyes. We need to have a careful walk. And the last thing we'll mention tonight is we need to have a keen ear. We need to open the ears of our heart. You see, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Go over to Luke chapter 6. Very familiar passage. And we're going to end. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings," that keen ear, that ear of my heart, "whoever heareth the sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." You see, Abraham's life was founded upon a rock. It was the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was unmovable. It didn't shake him. He had it together. But now you look at the next verse. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You see, we need a keen ear to the Lord. We need a keen ear to what this word tells us. And we need to take a stand on that faith and keep these ingredients going in our lives. We've got to watch what our eyes are doing. We've got to watch what our heart is doing. We've got to watch about the what we hear. We've got to watch about our walk. We've got to have that careful mouth. Be careful. Think about what you're about to say and what it's going to do later down the road. What's it going to cause later on? It might even be something that at some point you need to witness to someone. But if we blow our top with that person, how are we going to witness to them now? If we got foul mouth with them, how are we going to say, hey, this is what you need. You need Jesus. He'll help you with your problems. Oh, really? What do you know? We got to be very careful. We need to make sure of our path. The Lord said He's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path if we'll stick with it. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up. We won't sing tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you felt the Lord speaking to you in some way, form,